In the late 1930s, Winston Churchill described what he saw as a gathering storm. The forces of Hitler and the axis of evil threatening freedom and democracy. I recall when Mr. Meeks and I were on the border between Poland and Ukraine, watching thousands of mothers and their children fleeing in fear, fleeing their own country after the invasion. And the Poles told us, this is just like 1939 when Hitler invaded Poland. Today, we are at a similar inflection point in history. The fall of Afghanistan sent a powerfully dangerous message to our adversaries that America was weak. Almost immediately after, the Russian Federation began moving towards Ukraine. And once Chairman Xi met with Putin at the Olympics and cemented their unholy alliance, they invaded. Chairman Xi has become more aggressive in the Pacific. And mark my words, Xi is watching what happens in Ukraine to determine whether he invades Taiwan and the Pacific. And then the Ayatollah raised his ugly head in the Middle East. And last Saturday, the world watched as Iran, for the first time in history, invaded Israel, sending 300 missiles and drones to kill innocent Israelis. These dictators, including North Korea, are all tied together. They are all tied together. We cannot separate them. We don't pick our and choose our enemies. They choose us. My father served as a bombardier in World War II. He was part of the greatest generation. I recently took my son to my father's air base in England, where he was stationed. And while there, we visited the church where my father prayed, not knowing if he would live or die. I took my son to the National Cemetery for the U.S. airmen who never made it home. And I pointed to the 4,000 crosses and said, "Son, those are the ones who did not make it home." And in the chapel there is inscribed on the ceiling, quote, "In honor of the airmen who on their last flight met the face of God." Met the face of God. It was a moving experience, father and son, teaching my son, like my father taught me, about the importance of patriotism and the cost of freedom. It was also a reminder of the dangers that we face today. For today, like then, it could have been prevented. Deterrence is the key. As Churchill wrote in his book, The Gathering Storm, quote, "One day, President Roosevelt told me that he was asking publicly for suggestions about what the war should be called. I said," Churchill said at once, "the unnecessary war." Think about that, the unnecessary war. He said, "There never was a war more easy to stop than that which has just wrecked what was left of the world from the previous struggle." I often think about the blood and treasure that could have been saved for my father's generation had we simply stopped Hitler earlier. And now we are faced with a similar opportunity. As Reagan told us, quote, "We know only too well the conflict comes not when the forces of freedom are strong, but when they are weak." He was right. Our adversaries are working together to undermine our Western values and demean our democracy. We cannot be afraid at this moment in time. We cannot be afraid of our shadows. We must be strong. We have to do what's right. Evil is on the march. History is calling, and now is the time to act. For the world is watching. Our adversaries are watching us here today, and history will judge us all by our actions here today and now. So as we deliberate on this vote, you have to ask yourself the question, am I Chamberlain or am I Churchill? And with that, I yield back.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
It's Saturday, 20 April, year of our Lord, 2024. You just heard McCall, and this is the dog they're going to beat. It's a Churchill moment or a Chamberlain moment. Of course, they twist the actual history of the run-up to World War II, right, dramatically, and what the British were actually fighting for, the empire they were fighting for, and always remember, the American people wanted no part of a European war. Why? They'd had a belly full of it in World War I. They wanted no involvement in this at all. Roosevelt lied to the American people in the 1940 campaign, said, we will never send boys over to Europe. That will never happen. And remember, when Imperial Japan struck us, we declared war on Japan. We did not declare war on Germany. We did not declare war on Hitler. Hitler, 72 hours later, 48 hours later, declared war on us because of secret treaties they had with the Japanese. The complete twisting of history. You notice one thing McCall doesn't talk about? And look, as you know, being a member of the War Room Posse or watching this show, we love history. We love discussing history. We love the process of history. He who controls the past, controls the present. And he who controls the present controls the future. The twisting of the past. You notice they never talk about, why don't we talk about the world as it is today? And let's talk about a Churchill moment today. What you're seeing, and this is putting in high relief the divide in this country between a populist nationalist, America first, and American citizens first versus the globalist elite. And many, the great unmasking, you're going to find many representatives that you have worked for, you have voted for, you have raised money for, you've given your own hard-earned money, you've walked precincts that are part in backing the globalist elite. You cannot take out the context of the central snake, the Chinese Communist Party, and the Biden administration's kowtow to him, and the business elite in our country selling us out. The central part of this war on the Eurasian landmass is that, and I've argued this for years when many of these people were in short pants, is that the Chinese Communist Party with the mullahs, with Pakistan, with North Korea, and the same people today in the Democratic Party and the same people today are in back of pushing this vote on Ukraine are the exact same people who came after President Trump and trying to hive off the KGB from being an ally of the Chinese Communist Party. That was forced on Trump in his first administration. President Trump tried to do the most brilliant geostrategic move and reach some sort of rapprochement, right, with the KGB, but bring the Russian people on our side to stop exactly the situation we're in. The ones today that are going to sit there and tell you have to vote to Ukraine or you're Neville Chamberlain are liars and twisting history. We would have never been in this position if they, and what McCall's the running dog for, the Atlantic Council, Atlantic Magazine, MSNBC, all those geniuses who have lied to you from the beginning about what this is about and actually where we stand on this topic. So you're going to see more of this today. the one thing he, with all this highfalutin, you know, the Churchill, talk about the present, talk about Iraq, talk about Afghanistan, talk about the elites of General Scowcroft bailing out the Chinese Communist Party to kick this whole thing off in 1989. Remember, within 6 months after we sold out our greatest ally, the Lao Beijing, the Chinese people and the Russian people after World War II, where they had bled out the Imperial Japanese Army and crushed the Wehrmacht, right? So the America didn't have 2 or 3 million casualties, right, coming across Normandy, of which the British and Churchill particularly delayed for years and years and years because they couldn't take the casualties they had in World War I when their generals just sent on the first day of the Somme their troops over the top to be slaughtered, right? You had to have the Russian army bleed them out, and it was only forcing Churchill and the British to agree to a D-Day invasion 3 or 4 years into the war. You're completely twisting the history of World War II, completely twisting. And now, with what we've done in the disaster in Iraq by the exact same warmongers and the exact same military-industrial complex that lied to your face about Iraq and lied to your face about the Afghan war. You think Vietnam was bad? You read the Pentagon Papers, particularly all the veterans who served in Vietnam. You ever read the Pentagon Papers, how they lied to the American people consistently? And not Nixon. I don't even know why Nixon ever didn't want it to come out. Democrats, the same exact globalist that led us into the folly of the Vietnam War and then lied about it consistently, was brought up later. And in their own documents, they show how they're lying about it. The Washington Post then does the Afghan papers, which go back over Afghanistan for 20 years, lies and misrepresentations. I had a ringside seat. I was the one President Trump put in charge in 17 to try to get some sort of order into Afghanistan and have President Trump's policy administered at that time of a smart withdrawal with keeping people there that could kill the Taliban if ever kept. The deep state sat there, would sit there in the National Security Council in the Kennedy room and lie to your face. They will lie to your face, and until you press them on the numbers, they'll continue to lie. There's nothing that the deep state, the administrative state, and the money generating machine they've got in the weapons industry, that won't sit there and lie to you. Today is nothing but unmitigated lies. Unmitigated lies about this entire situation in Ukraine. Why, with all, if you want to talk about World War II, every brilliant general we had, from Patton to General Marshall to General Eisenhower, let's throw in General Slim, let's throw in General Montgomery, none of them would say to be ever involved in any kind of land war around Ukraine. It's ridiculous, absurd. There's something deeper in Ukraine. They have to have Ukraine because you're going to make Ukraine part of the club, the party of Davos in Brussels, the city of London, Wall Street, the imperial capital in Washington, D.C. The dark secrets of Ukraine have not come out. And has McCauley and these guys pressed the War Powers Act? Has the Biden regime come forward and said, here's the plan. Here's our plan in Ukraine. Okay, we need $60 billion now. We've already put in 120. We need another 60. We need another 30 next year, another 20 after that. Or it's going to be like Afghanistan. We spent $7 trillion in Iraq and don't have any oil. We spent $2 trillion in Afghanistan. And you know what we have to show for it? You know what the American people have to show for it? Besides those regimes, Sharia supremacist regimes running both countries after 20 years, you know what we have? We have Section 60 over at Arlington National Cemetery. So, McCall, with all your highfalutin 12 o'clock high, which you're stealing from us, go to Section 60. Go to Section 60 this afternoon and make that speech. Make that speech today to Section 60. Of all the blood and treasure we've wasted because of clowns like you and the people you represent, we are now down the path. You vote for the $60 billion today, you own it. And it ain't going to be the last $60 billion. And starting next year, when we start to have making massive cuts to federal spending, remember this day that we just approved a $7 trillion spending bill, a $2 trillion deficit. They threw in another $100 billion, including $60 billion to their buddies in Ukraine, of which Chip Roy points out, We've given $125 billion. They can only account for $40 or $50 billion on the battlefield. The rest is in Monaco. Their DACA's on the Caspian Sea. They've stolen tens of billions of dollars. They're going to steal tens of billions more. Okay, we're going to be live on Capitol Hill today, up on the hill. We'll be back in the war room in just a moment. Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest. From the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care, visit jacemedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action.
Well, 2024 shapes up to be a bitter rematch. Longtime Republican pollster Frank Luntz is sharing some never-before-seen video from his focus groups, sharing it with OutFront. Take a look.
How condescending was Obama? I couldn't stand to watch that guy. He just looked down on top of everybody. Trump will get down in the dirt and work with you.
So
Obama
would
never have done that.
You want respect, but you have a president who takes on women, minorities, everything but white
males. You know what? He won the election. And he won.
He didn't get
the popular
vote.
And you guys can't handle that.
He didn't.
I don't know why he's racist.
Why
do you have to ask
him that way?
Because he sits up and he says, all those Mexicans are rapists and murderers.
No, he's not
allowed. No. Okay, and then, yes, he did say that. Yes, he did.
He said they're sending
can
the
I finish my, can, I didn't say that. You're talking about, I'm talking about he was running.
Yeah, no, he said they send the worst among them. Some of them are rapists. Some of them are drug dealers and murderers.
They ask me what I feel.
Frank is with me now. So that's just, that's a small snapshot, right? You shared a fair amount of video with us. When we look at that, you've said the country is more divided than ever. I think a lot of people would agree with you, but this video evidence, why, how, why is it this bad? What are you learning from these groups in these moments?
That there are there's no editing anymore. There's no censorship. That we now say what we think. We say what we want people to hear, rather than trying to learn. To me, it's not about the mistakes made. It's about the lessons learned. And no one's trying to learn anything from this. They simply want to be heard, and they will shout to be heard.
Okay, welcome. Understand we're having a little power issue at Rav for Getter and for Rumble. We'll get that back up momentarily. You must hear that amazing open I just gave. We got to play that. Ben Harnwell's in Rome. We're going to get into Ukraine in this vote. We're going to be cutting in live to the Hill, particularly as we get to the Ukraine part. So they're going to debate up until, I think, 1 o'clock, and then votes during 1 o'clock. Votes going to go to 2, 2.30. So it's and the way these rules work, because the Democrats came in and kind of worked on Johnson's rule, there's going to be limited time for opposition. I don't even know if Chip Roy and some of the best people to talk about the outrageousness of Ukraine are going to get a shot. I think MTG and some others, but we'll see. We're going to play that by ear. And Jeff Clark joins me right there. Was a Frank Luntz panel. Frank Luntz is no friend of the president's, but he's been doing these, as he does all the time, these kind of marketing groups, right? Survey groups live. And he's seen that the Trump supporters are more vocal than ever, that, hey, this was stolen. We had peace and prosperity as Trump was there. And, you know, we got his back and coming back, and we don't care what you guys are doing on election interference, et cetera. And, you know, Luntz, who's kind of McCarthy, you know, typical Rhino Murdoch guy, is shocked by the intensity of this. He clearly hasn't watched War Room in a while. The intensity of this audience is building. There's a lot of frustration. I mean, not frustration. There is, I've never seen our audience as angry about what's going on at Capitol Hill right now. And to only the point that some don't want to remove Johnson. They wanted to stick with the guy because they don't want to upend anything to hurt President Trump. I think right now we're fighting a two-front war. As big as the crisis on Capitol Hill is, it's huge. I think the reality is now we have a crisis in this campaign with President Trump because I had observers in the courtroom this week. They've never seen anything. And these are experienced people that have been in New York courtrooms for 30 or 40 years. And they said the media is not reporting it. We're trying to get reporters in there hopefully the next week or two. It's tough because you got to be kind of approved. These people said they've never seen anything like this in their life. And clearly the bodega visit is what President Trump has to do. And I think the campaign has to keep in mind, President Trump is not running against Mershon. Mershon is a tool and an instrument of their lawfare because they can't beat Trump on the policies. They cannot. We got another clip from Stephen A. Smith later that reinforces. Stephen A. Smith is now talking about, wait for it, immigration and the invasion of this country hurting the African-American and the minority community, and the Democrats don't even think. In New York, you're an expert in this. How bad is this? Because Monday opening arguments start and the train's going to start running. How bad is the situation in New York in this courtroom?
This is a terrible situation, Steve. Look, it's a travesty of justice. And look, I'll admit when I'm wrong. I said early on, right around the time this case was first brought, that, look, you know, why are they're jumping the shark. Why are they bringing, you know, 3-4 prosecutions against Trump? At most, you just bring two. If you bring more, you've really, you know, crossed into the territory of making yourself look ridiculous. But clearly, they strategized this out, and they realized that their other cases could get halted. And so this one, they figured they could get on a fast track. And so it's why they filed it, even though it's the weakest of the case.
They control everything.
Yeah,
they control. It's the weakest of the case, but for the people that don't follow politics and the people that don't follow the day to day, it's the easiest to understand. And it's not about commercial or bookkeeping. What he's not going to be, the actual case, the misdemeanors that they flipped to felonies are not the case. The case is porn star, playmate of the year, Billy Bush weekend, smear Trump, and quite frankly, try to destroy Melania in the same process. You see the Daily Mail every day has a psyop against Melania. This is to go after the president and his family directly in front of the American people.
It is a psyop, Steve, and I watched a clip this morning right when I got up that where they were stressing that Stormy Daniels is going to say that, you know, this relationship that she actually admitted on paper didn't exist, but now she's going to say it existed and that it was non-consensual, right? They're going to try to feed this into the narrative in New York.
This is so
about
important.
The E. Jean Carroll case.
Full stop. Hit rewind on that. This is what's coming next week.
Right.
This is all to smear. This is all to give more ammo to the Karens in the suburbs, right? The college educated women who hate Trump. This is a huge reveal because this has never come up before. They're essentially going to say he raped E.J. Carroll, which he didn't. He's not, you know, they couldn't prove it. She's going to bring a thing that when she says non-consensual, she's saying basically he raped me.
Yes. So, you know, that's what they did with E. Jean Carroll, right? That, you know, it's not that she wound up at the department store by consent, that somehow she was pressured. And then you have the jury finding that there was no sexual assault, but you have the judge finding to the contrary of the jury in that E. Jean Carroll case that there was sexual assault. It doesn't make any sense. It's against all basic principles of law, but they think they had great success with that, so they're going to rerun that play, and they're going to have Stormy Daniels, you know, testify with bated breath, with all the people on MSNBC and CNN hanging on her every word, that you know, she actually was dragooned into this by Trump. And it's all, you know, entirely contrary to what she testified to before. But in this rigged process with Judge Mershon, you know, it's going to be something that's aired for the public constantly to do maximum damage to President Trump. It is unprecedented lawfare. It is something that we have to eliminate if we're going to keep the republic. Otherwise, we're just going to have this constant government mainstream media partnership to tear down anyone who threatens their power, Steve.
They have total control of this courtroom. You've got the attorney general. You've got a radical governor. You've got the attorney general. You have the mayor. You have the prosecutor. You have a judge whose daughter is obviously a Democratic operative in the courtroom. You're supposed to have unlimited for cause. I think most veteran watchers are absolutely stunned that the jury selection only took a week. I had people, given the pure hatred of the Upper West Side and most of the Upper East Side in Soho, all the credentialed class that infests New York, people are saying to really do this properly, to really vet people, and not just what they're telling you, to get behind what they're telling you, because there could be many people that want to be on the jury to hang Trump, is that you're going to need 2 or 3 weeks to take the process slow. Mershon, this thing went through, it was done in 5 days.
Yeah. It looks. Let's compare it to Fulton County, Georgia, right? One of the RICO cases that Fannie Willis is involved in, she's RICO happy. I'm one of the defendants in a RICO case she has down connected to the 2020 election where President Trump's the main defendant. But she brought a RICO case against Young Thug, right? And it took, like, an unprecedented amount of time to pick that jury, just months and months and months. But that's because of how controversial the issues are and how big the case is. President Trump, you know, like, it like ran through a goose. He gets a jury in New York, you know, in a week. It's just, it's total double standard. It's total denial of due process to President Trump. And, you know, this judge, he should not be on this case. He should have recused. Judge Preska, who's a former Southern District of New York federal judge, she was on CNN and she flabbergasted Caitlin Collins when she said, look, I looked at the statute, and if you have someone within, you know, I think it was 5 or 6 degrees of consanguinity who has a financial interest, that's imputed to you. This is Judge Mershon's daughter, and she's making millions off of pillaring Trump.
I know you got to bounce. Real quickly, why are we not pressing the criminal conspiracy of DOJ with Colangelo up in New York, what's happening in Fannie Willis, the White House visits all? Why is the House not giving preserve the documents right now and going after a vast criminal conspiracy here to entrap Trump?
Look, I think that, you know, Congressman Loudermilk's been making some progress in terms of exposing issues about January 6th, but I think the whole weaponization subcommittee of judiciary could have produced a lot more, Steve. And this unprecedented lawfare really should be something that they're going after. They didn't send the acting number three official from DOJ to help Alvin Bragg for no reason. It's all coordinated. They also coordinated, as we found out in my own case, there are documents exchanged between the Justice Department and Fannie Willis and between the White House Counsel's Office and Fannie Willis. Those have been placed under seal, Steve. I cannot see them. President Trump cannot see them. What are they hiding?
They're hiding a lot. Where do people get you? I know you got a bounce. You're speaking at a conference. We're here at CRA today, Center for Renewing America. Where do people go to find out more about you?
Sure, and I'm going to talk about your favorite topic, Steve, defanging the administrative state. So, yeah, I met Jeff Clark US on X and on Getter and at Real Jeff Clark on Truth Social and the Center for Renewing America. You know, the organization I'm with is at AmericaRenewing.com.
Jeff Clark, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you back on the show next week. Good luck at the conference today.
Thanks, Steve.
A short commercial break. We're going to talk about our latest installment on End of the Dollar Empire next. The apples in your holiday pie taste amazing, but it's not exactly the recommended 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. The Mayo Clinic says if you want to help prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and your cholesterol, eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which, as you know, is almost impossible. That's why you need to check out Field of Greens. Every fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was medically selected by doctors to support your vital organs, like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. Yo, folks, the holidays are here and you need to stay healthy. Plus, you'll notice your skin, hair, and nails will look healthier. Field of Greens is the simplest way to get those daily fruits and veggies, and it tastes amazing. Let me get you started with 15% off your first order. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Bannon. That's promo code Bannon at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Make sure you take it today. Use your agency. Action, action, action. Fieldofgreens.com. Promo code Bannon.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
You know, I gave a talk last night at Center for Renewing America. A part of it's up on we did a clip, or Vish and Grace did a clip and put it up on Twitter. And it was me making the argument about the motion to vacate for Johnson. Since we're in the middle of this firestorm today on Capitol Hill, and we're trying to figure out, because it's very important on this Ukraine vote, and that's why 202-224-3121, or better, download Bill Blaster. It's very important for us to get a majority of the majority voting against the Ukraine bill. And you're having a great unmasking here. I would love to be able to say it any other way, but you have we didn't get to play the entire cold open. I realized there were some technical problems with Getter and with Rumble, and I want to figure out how to do that, because McCall's up there making the case of the Churchill moment, right? That Mike Johnson saying he's a wartime speaker. And I give the counter to that, because we are going down a path of destruction for this republic with an invasion on our southern border. Think about it for a second. Mike McCall, you should have asked your father's memory, of which I honor because he's one of the great ones, right? The 8th Air Corps. Everybody knows, if you saw American Dharma, the movie by Errol Morris, it's all about using the framework of not just the films, but really the framework of 12 o'clock high, because just like John Ford's movie with John Wayne, They Were Expendable, which talks about Bataan and Corregidor in the early weeks of World War II, 12 o'clock high is the European version of that, of those troops, because of people not doing their jobs, right, for years and years as a lead up to it, and lying to the American people. Let's be blunt. Lying to the American people. One of the reasons for the mistrust in government today and distrust in our institutions today go all the way back to the 1930s at least. You know, I'm not saying the only living person. There may be others that are historians, but I don't know anybody else that's read all of, and I think there's 7 or 8 commissions on Pearl Harbor, right? 7 or 8 commissions on Pearl Harbor. And as a naval officer, because they confuse the two, but between the Japanese codes, the diplomatic codes and the naval codes, I'm still not convinced of the official party line on Pearl Harbor. I'm just not. And General Marshall and those guys were up to their neck in that thing. Then you got the whole situation at the end of World War II. We essentially we took the two people who are allies, the Lao Beijing, who had given 35 million people in human sacrifice to defeat the Imperial Japanese Army, and another, I don't know, 65 million over in Russia. And Stalin, by the way, is killing as many Russians. No, he's killing Russians left and right because he didn't care. These people don't care about their people. We abandoned both those people to these dictators, these murderous dictators. So when you're sitting there talking to those people, and when you're making that in the chapel, you got to bring it to current times. You have to bring it to current times, because history is a process. And McCall, we're not any different today. What did those guys give their lives for? What were they told they gave their lives for? Who were they actually defending? The Greatest Generation, as we look back on it. Was there any, the industrial structure of Germany in 1939 when they invaded Poland was the exact industrial structure of Germany and the power elites in Germany in 1945? Yeah, you hung a couple of senior Nazis, the rest killed themselves or ran away. But I'm talking about the industrial, besides taking off the Nazi party guys, the industrial structure, same with Imperial Japan. What actually changed? The 7 samurai families that owned the big trading combines that are the, you know, Mitsubishis and the Mitsuis and all of that, the same samurai families that own the 7, same that have controlled, just like in Mexico, the 7 families, they controlled the country for 2 millennia. In 1941, on December 6th, 1941, the day before, is the same after the surrender document on the battleship Missouri in September 1945. Yep. The American people need truth, because it's the American people's sons and daughters over in Section 60. You can't go back to World War II, because that's been so based on almost myth today. You can't go back and look at something that's myth. Talk about the present. We have to face some unpleasant realities. This is why Trump must be destroyed by the establishment. There are things happening in this country today against President Trump that are unparalleled in the history of the country. It's unparalleled even in the imagination of this country. He has to be destroyed by the establishment. Because for all his imperfections, his voice, his reasoning, his common sense that attracts two-thirds of the nation to 75% of the nation, minimum, they must take out. You know how much they want to take out? Don't listen to Steve Bannon. Listen to Benny Thompson. What did they put out yesterday? After the jury was, the jury's locked in after 1 week on a guy like Trump and the controversy of his presidency. And if you look at these people, they're all CNN and New York Times readers. You see the crap we play on CNN all the time. You guys came and take 2 minutes of it. You're whining. It's too much. It's too insane. It's too crazy. That's every night. Do you understand the New York Times? And by the way, if the New York Times didn't publish, MSNBC and CNN would be test patterns. That's what they feed off of. You got Maggie Haberman. She's sitting in the courtroom. Trump's sleeping. He's sleeping. He's old. He's drooling. Right? But you know what happened yesterday? After all of this, after they had the jury selection, you know what happened down at Capitol Hill? Did you see Jordan or Polly Pockets Johnson? Did they come out and say, yes, we're starting the weaponization of criminal conspiracy. We sent letters to the Justice Department. We sent letters here. We sent letters here to Florida. Boom, we put them on notice. The hearing is going to start Monday at the opening arguments of the trial. At the opening arguments of the trial. Opening, are you giving me a thumbs up? What we got? Ukraine. Okay, hang on. We're going to go. Let's go live and hear a little bit about Ukraine. After I've had a belly full, I'll jump back in. We're going to go live to Capitol Hill.
Could be satiated with Georgia and Crimea. They were wrong. And today, Putin's appetite has only grown. Now he wants all of Ukraine. Tomorrow, Moldova, the Baltics, Poland. Madam Chair, history repeats itself. I'm reminded that in 1947, Congress provided military and economic support for Greece and Turkey, keeping them out of the hands of the Soviet Union. And today, this Congress has the chance to do the same by supporting these bills that confront the Troika and fully fund our...
In 1947, when you gave the money to Greece, you threw a few dollars over there. Remember something. Don't let them rewrite history. For the last 2 years of the war, everybody says, but Putin's the worst. Putin's a terrible guy. The KGB are bad hombres, terrible people. Not as bad on a relative basis of the gangsters in Beijing who are as bad as Hitler's regime. Ye who are going out there to San Francisco and drinking champagne with them and hugging up on them because our elites are in business with them. That's this whole scam. You want to stop this war? You want a Churchill moment? You want a Churchill moment, McCall? Walk up to Wall Street and say, hey, no access to our capital markets, no access to our technology, no access to anything in the United States. Complete, total decoupling, and we're going to force everybody else in the world to decouple too. Oh, by the way, we're going to go after your central bank and your currency like we've gone after the Russians, and we're going to use the SWIFT system to shut down every transfer of money you've done. Full total economic warfare. You know what happened? 100 days, Lao Beijing revolt, and you'll be finished with the gangsters in Beijing. You don't want to do that because you're in business with them. You want to get some happy talk on the floor and give shovel some more money over to your oligarch partners in Ukraine. Let's talk about 1947. It was obvious, and people were coming up, the Red Army, right, and taking the onslaught of the Wehrmacht and destroying them. And where did they destroy them? Around Ukraine. Okay, down in Stalingrad, in Kursk, with the big fights in Moscow, obviously in St. Petersburg or Leningrad with the 900-day siege, all of that. But where they destroyed the German army was in Stalingrad and in Kursk, the largest tank battle, right down in the same area we're talking about today. Hey, and guess what? All those guys in Ukraine, 80% of them, were fighting for the Germans, okay? I'm not saying that, I don't want to take this the wrong way. Stalin had already starved 5 million of the Ukrainians. It wasn't that they were loving on him. These are two murderous dictators, murderous, bad guys, terrible guys, two of the worst humans in the history of this world, and that's saying something. But in the last 2 years of the war, we overfunded Stalin. People come and say, why are we still pounding weapons in this guy? What are we doing here? Why are we pounding weapons in this? Why? He's beaten the German army. Now they're on retreat. We've got to get to Berlin. Montgomery and Patton every day. Montgomery and Patton every day. Montgomery and Patton every day. We need to get to Berlin. We need to get to Berlin. We can get to Berlin a month before they do, 3 months before they did. Patton did the breakout from Normandy. Got us across France. You've seen Bridge Too Far. Market Garden was to parachute over, get to the Rhine River as quickly as possible to get to Berlin. We were held up, and we overfinanced, and we gave more weapons to Stalin so that he could take Eastern Europe. And yes, when it became so obviously and politically uncomfortable for the communist in the FDR administration and the communists that came and kind of controlled Truman, when it became politically unacceptable, because just like here, we've raised the stakes in the politics and told the truth. Then they threw a few bones. Oh, yeah, we'll stop them in Greece. We'll give a few bones to the Baltics. That's performative. Right now, all they're doing is using historical analogies to lie to you, to cover up what's going on. They're in business with the existential threat, the deep state, the administrative state, Wall Street, the tech feudalism that we're going to because you've lost entrepreneur capitalism, okay? You've had finance capitalism. Did that work out so well for us? We're in late-stage capitalism, but we're rapidly going to techno-feudalism. And all of these guys are up to their neck with Sequoia Capital, all of them with the Chinese Communist Party. Yet today, they're going to sit there and tell you you're Neville Chamberlain if you vote against $60 billion for the money laundering operation in Ukraine to worry about the two Slavic entities slugging it out like they've done from time immemorial, about the Russian-speaking eastern border, which not even about that anymore because, hey, they're heading to Kiev. And why are they heading to Kiev? It's not because of the lack of weapons. That's one reason, but that's not it. As President Trump said the other day, the Europeans are richer than the Americans. You take all of Europe, why are they not putting money in? Why are they saying no mas? I can't give up my Swiss chalet. I can't give up my big mansion down the south of France. I can't give it up in Belgravia. No. We need Americans in Kansas and Georgia and Vermont and Minnesota and Tennessee to send their sons and daughters and to write more checks. The $60 billion is nothing more than a money laundering operation. And anybody sitting up there says, gets all puffed up. This is our Churchill moment. Screw you. Give me a Churchill moment about Iraq. Give me a Churchill moment about Afghanistan. And don't talk about this simply. The withdrawal, yes, it was totally botched. Completely botched and embarrassing. It shows you how feckless and incompetent they are. Absolutely. But it's deeper than that. It's what got us in there and what kept us in there. When President Trump wanted to get out in the summer of 2017, they came at him from every direction. I've seen the deep state in operation.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
The same guys that would not make the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization, the same Muslim Brotherhood that has their franchisee in Gaza right now in Hamas, right? The same group that wouldn't put their foot, that wouldn't back President Trump on choking down the Persians when the Persians are surrounding the Israelis. That same crowd, this crowd that have always given money and weapons and a nuclear weapon to the Persians and did not want to know. The Muslim Brotherhood runs hospitals. The Muslim Brotherhood runs schools. The Muslim Brotherhood's a terrorist organization. And it's infiltrated the United States deeply, deeply. The only way the CCP is ahead of them, by the way, the CCP is in business with them. It's in business with Qatar. It's in business in the Gulf Emirates. It's in business particularly with the Persians. Just announced yesterday the highest exports, I think, in history from Iran at the highest prices going where? Wait for it. Wait for it. If you said Beijing at, I don't know, 50, 60 bucks a barrel on a long-term deal, you would be correct. And that cash flow is getting funneled back to the KGB, the one that President Trump tried to make her ally, said, oh, you can't do that. Putin's such a bad guy. Joseph Stalin killed 20 or 30 million of his own people. He starved 5 million people in Ukraine. You think the Holocaust is bad? You see what he did. And I will state, the Holocaust is terrible. You got 6 million, and I've been to the camps. But Stalin killed as many or more of the Russians and or people associated with it, and we gave him unlimited blank check. The American people underwrote Stalin, underwrote him in the war and afterwards. And the same administrative state and globalists who were Marxists and communists at the time, as proven by Richard Nixon and proven by, I hated Nixon, who was kind of a mini globalist himself. They hated him because he outed them, hated McCarthy. Drove him to drink himself to death. Roy Cohn, who's a piece of work but a hard nut and the mentor, one of the mentors of President Trump. These guys are tough people. They're not going to back down. They didn't back down. They exposed all this. The same scams be running here. Talk to me about Iraq and Afghanistan. Do not go back to the 1930s. Don't go back to the 1930s because you didn't care about it because the same people that backed the Soviet Union, that backed the Bolsheviks against President Reagan. The exact same crowd. Jamie Raskin's father, he's a Soviet agent. Soviet agent. And Jamie Raskin, no, no, he was misinterpreted. He was just, you know, no, no, no. Just like I.F. Stone. You're working for the other side. All those guys that supported the Bolsheviks, they're flipped now that Putin's the worst guy in the world. The Russian, how'd that work? How'd that work? Let me think about that for a second. Let me cogitate on that. Let me think about that. Raskin, Soviet Union, Bolsheviks. Oh, I got it. Maybe you think it has anything to do with the Orthodox Church? That maybe we'll contemplate that next week when we have more time. You think it has anything to do with it? Think that's just a random event? You think the same people who supported the Bolsheviks against the Soviet Union, against Trump, against Reagan? Reagan was the worst. Don't they got Reagan and, like, you know, the liberals say, oh, you've got to have Reagan. They're going to call Reagan's name will be used 1,000 times a day. Reagan, Reagan, Reagan. They hated him. They hated him. Hated him because he took down the evil empire. They hated him. They tried to run him out of office. The whole Iran-Contra thing, they were trying to impeach him. They hated him. Not as much as they hate Trump, because Trump's a blunt force instrument. Trump has come in and upset all of it. And they look out at Trump's show of force in that bodega up in Harlem in the 5 and 6 deep on Broadway of African-Americans, Hispanic-Americans, people from the Dominican Republic. Hey, a total mixed bag up there, and they're chanting and cheering MAGA, and they're chanting and cheering from Trump. Hey, that's not a look. That's why Benny Thompson, don't look at Steve Bannon. Benny Thompson came here yesterday with a bill they're going to put forward to strip Secret Service protection from any president that's found guilty in a felony and sent to a prison. What do you think that's about? What do you think that's about? And they do it at the end of the jury selection. You think that's random? These people don't do anything random. They play Smash Mouth. Can you imagine? Has Jim Jordan or Polly Pockets or anybody gone full force about the criminal conspiracy to put President Trump in prison? Anybody? Has been any mention of that? Except on War Room? Has been any mention of that? No. They're too busy? What are they busy doing? Giving money to Ukraine? Is that what they're busy doing? Or with knitted brows? Or sending a strongly worded letter to somebody? Where's the action? Benny Thompson, these people show you how they roll. They play Smash Mouth. They want Trump dead. They want Trump dead. Let me repeat that. They want Trump dead. Because they feel if they destroy Trump, we just scatter to the wind. We scatter to the wind. Our reverence for President Trump, our respect for President Trump, because none of this had to happen if he had not come back to try to save his country. If he'd stayed at Mar-a-Lago and been a good little boy and built some more golf courses and taken a big $30 million advance like Obama and the wife, if they'd done all that and played the game and just said, hey, look, I gave it my best shot. Maybe Biden did win. That's what they wanted him to say. Remember, the New York Times reported it. They all came to him and said, all you got to do is just say this and it'll be fine. The pain will stop. The torture will stop. You know what he said? Screw you. That's the title of the book. He went to CPAC. You know what he said? Not only are we not going to stop, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to lead this movement, and we're going to be more powerful than ever. And then he ended with the punchline. We're going to finish what we started. And that's what this is about. And I realize if I got to pat some people on the head, I'll pat them on the head. You're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days. And Friday, from the high we had on Thursday in Vegas, what happened overnight, and the next day, I realize we've had better days. However, future victories are the seeds there. You have to have the great unmasking. Number one, remember, the people driving this are people we've all put in office. But anybody have realized Mike Johnson, he of the biblical worldview, would have completely flipped in 60 or 90 days once he got into a skiff. See, here's what they do. They put you in a skiff, so the classified areas you go in for the high intel briefings. Of course, I tell these guys when you give them the briefings, why is this classified? Why is this classified? Because I had a high security clearance back in the late 70s and early 80s as a naval officer, and particularly high security clearance when I got to the Pentagon for my last 3 years. I've been through this drill before. I know how stuff is gun decked, okay? You get Mike Johnson in there, and the next thing you know, he's wetting himself, right? Like McCall wets himself, like the head of House Intelligence wets himself. They get these guys in there who are not the sharpest tools in the shed, and they get them in there. And you know what they did? Give them in the room? They give them the Churchill Chamberlain. Are you Chamberlain or are you Churchill? Are you going to write checks? This is what you think Iraq was about. Didn't you hear all of that? You got to go after Saddam Hussein. He's got weapons of mass destruction. Remember that? Remember Cheney's old man lying to you every day? Lying to you. Lying to the Republican base of how you had to do it, how this was going to be, save the world, how this was. He was going to blow everything up. Turned out it was all total lies. What do we got to show for it? What do you got to show for in Iraq and Afghanistan today? You know what you got to show for it? The extreme patriotism and service of volunteers, and I might duly note, none of their sons and daughters, right? But the volunteers in Section 60 of Arlington National Cemetery and all the broken lives and amputees and PTSD and 20 suicides a day and homeless, you look down there and they're veterans. Not only do we lose any, we have no learning curve from Vietnam. Why? People are still, they'll still lie to you. The same lies they told about Vietnam, the same lies they told about Iraq, the same lies they told about Afghanistan, the same lies. They're telling you with a little different spin today. But today, what makes it unique and makes it, to me, unforgivable is they're going back to the greatest generation. They're trying to jack you up that you too can be the greatest generation. All these congressmen, when you go meet them, they're going to say, hey, we had to be Churchill, I had to be Chamberlain. Mike McCall said that. It was such a beautiful speech. I teared up. I had to hold back the tears. He's just using one of the great moments when you talk about the 8th Air Corps and you talk about the sacrifice of the 12 o'clock high. They got this new series out for young people, I think Masters of the Air, Spielberg and Tom Hanks in that crowd, to show you the sacrifice, to show you the selflessness of that generation. There's a, I think it was in Dallas years later, there was a speech given. And the guy giving the speech, I think it was a reporter, and he said he had followed General Eisenhower around for all that time they were doing the buildup to train in England for Normandy. The paratroopers, the troops are going to hit the beach, the people that are going to follow up. And Eisenhower said every time he would go, he would ask the guys, hey, you know, what are we fighting for? 90% of the people had no idea. They couldn't articulate it. They could not. They didn't really know why they were there. They didn't. I'll pull that to make sure that we can show you the evidence next week. They didn't. Because they had a blind faith, as that generation did, and as many generations did, in the leaders of their country. In the leaders of their country. They had blind faith that if my country's asking me to do this, it is worthwhile for me to put my life on the line. And remember, these were the guys that knew they weren't coming back. Well, we have to be smarter than that. We can't sacrifice any more generations. And what we're doing is going down the road. They want the American people at war with the Russian people, flat out. Short break, back in a moment.
I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money in our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to rickardswarroom.com. That's rickardswarroom.com now to see the video.
Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there, do it today. Check it out.